everybody has done. Christmas is a special time of year, and we take a little extra time to emphasize certain things. But I'm not going to be before you for a long time today, but I just sort of want to piggyback on some of the things that have already been sung and said. But I think you'll find this good. Matthew chapter 2. And I have a message that I want to share with you just for a few minutes. I call it a lifestyle of gracious giving. Of course, this is the Christmas season where we celebrate the greatest gift that's ever been given. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, who came, gave His life, that we could have redemption. And that one word, redemption, really wraps it up and says it all. The Greek word, apulotrosis, literally means a ransom paid in full. And that's what He did for us. And of course, we know the Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So Jesus is the most precious gift. He gave His life for you and for me. But I want to talk about giving from a little different viewpoint this morning, and I want you to see some things that will enable you to understand how you can give in your own life. Because Jesus not only poured out His life and gave His life, but I want you to look at a few passages and you'll see that He also was a receiver of gifts. So it's one thing to give a gift, it's another thing to receive a gift. Notice Matthew chapter 2. This is the account of the Magi, or the wise men that came from the east when they had seen the star. And they came to Israel and approached King Herod and said, "Where is this child that's born king of the Jews? We've come to worship him." And so Herod went to his scholars, if you will, and said, "Where is this child to be born?" And they said, "Well, the scripture says that he'll be born in Bethlehem." And so Herod sort of gave him directions and said to them, "You know, I want to worship him too. So when you find him, you let me know where he's at so I can come worship him." Well, the wise men, as they departed, connected with that star again, and they came to the place where Jesus was. Now, unlike the depictions that we have in the traditional Christmas story, the wise men did not find Jesus as an infant in a manger in a stable. But rather, he was about 18 months to 2 years old and living in a home. And so they found the young child, not the baby, but the young child. Notice verse 11. "And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they'd opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Now, I've taught on these three gifts in previous Christmas messages, but to make it capsulized for you in a nutshell, here it is. Gold is a gift that's suited for royalty. These Magi had enough insight to realize that this young child was a king, and he was born to rule. That was the significance of the gold. Frankincense is a gift that's suitable for a priest. It is part of the perfume that was offered up in the holy place, and it was also offered up during the sacrifices. So frankincense was used often by the priest. But the third gift that they brought, myrrh, is a little bit different. Myrrh is used in the embalming process. If you remember the Gospels, particularly in the Gospel of John, Joseph of Arimathea went and begged Pilate for the body of Jesus, and he and one other Pharisee brought 100-pound weight of myrrh and aloe to prepare his body for the tomb. These magi or wise men had enough insight to know that not only was this child a king, not only would he function as a priest, but he was born to die for our sins. So that's the significance of these three gifts that these wise men brought to this young child in Bethlehem. Now, if you would turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 8. We're going to talk about gifts from another viewpoint. We know Jesus is the ultimate gift. He poured out His life that we might live. But Jesus also received gifts, not only from the wise men, but in His ministry, there were people who ministered to Him. Notice Luke chapter 8, and I'll just read a few verses, beginning with verse 1. Luke 8. Excuse me. Notice what it says, "And it came to pass afterward that He went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with Him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward or business manager, and Susanna, and many others which ministered to Him of their substance." So not only did Jesus have His staff, His disciples who followed Him and assisted Him, but there were other women who also ministered to Him, and I'm sure they took care of their meals, and they also gave of their substance, they gave financially, and they did what they could to help His ministry. So Jesus received the gift of friendship. And as these two friends of mine so eloquently said, friends go out of their way and do things for each other. And so Jesus received that gift of friendship. Notice another passage I'd like you to look at briefly in Mark chapter 14. You're in Luke, back up to the Gospel of Mark chapter 14. And here we have an account of a woman who did something on behalf of Jesus that was really, really special. Mark chapter 14. We're talking about a lifestyle of gracious giving. Mark chapter 14, notice verse 3. "And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment and spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on His head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, 'Why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor.' And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, 'Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me you have not always. She has done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body for the burying. Verily I say unto you that wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of for a memorial for her.'" Now this perfume, if you will, that this woman had purchased and broke and poured on the head of Jesus was very, very valuable. And if you look at what it cost, it was equivalent to about 1 year's worth of wages. So could you imagine this woman, you know, let's say if she made $40,000 a year comparatively in our culture, spending $40,000 for a bottle of perfume and bringing it into that house and breaking it and pouring it on Jesus' head. And just like some of you, some of them got upset and said, "What a waste. That's too extravagant." Of course, it was Judas, one of the other Gospels recognizes that he said, we could have sold this and given it to the poor. Well, he said it because he was a thief. He saw money running down the back of Jesus' neck. That stuff's expensive. But listen, this woman gave Jesus a gift of devotion. She was devoted and appreciative of Him to the degree that she was willing to spend 1 year's worth of wages to do what she did. Now, in the Greek, it says this. In verse 8, it says, "She has done what she could." In the Greek, literally, she said, "What she had, she did." Now, why did she do it? She wasn't compelled to do it. Nobody asked her to do it. And here's the thing you have to remember about living a gracious life of giving. Follow your heart. She was led to do it. She was inspired to do it. You know you've lived and you're living a gracious life of giving when you're led by your heart, led by your spirit. So often we try to analyze things and figure things out and come up with a bottom line. Go with your heart. Go with your heart. Obey God from the inside out. Don't try to figure everything out. Now, I read an article not long ago that I'm going to share some things out of it with you. And it's simply this. This is something that all of us can apply. Remember, Jesus is the greatest gift. But because of His death and our faith in Him, now we have received eternal life. And with that eternal life, we've received the Spirit of God within. And wherever He lives, agape rules, love. That's why Romans 5:5 says, "For the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost." So inside each and every one of you is residing the nature of God. God is love. The Bible doesn't say He does love. It says He is love. That's His nature. That's who He is. And if He lives in you, then that is your nature. That's who you are. Now, out of that love, as one of the brethren mentioned this morning, there should be fruit produced. If the Spirit of God lives in you, then something's going to show up on the outside. If He's really in there, He's going to come out if you let Him. Now, here are some things that all of us can do, each and every one of us. Now, here's one thing I learned many, many years ago. You know, the Bible says in Galatians, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, meekness, goodness. I truly believe there is but one fruit of the Spirit, love. Everything else mentioned is an attribute of agape. See, meekness is an attribute of agape. Long-suffering. That's what love does. Love suffers long and is kind while it's suffering long. That's what love does. So I think there's one fruit of the Spirit, agape. And if you walk in agape, all of these other things will be fruit manifested that can be seen. So now I'm going to share with you 8 things that we can all give and receive. Especially among this bunch. All right? Because we've got the love of God on the inside of us. And these are simple things. I'd like you to write these down. If you don't write them down, get the CD. Or pull it off the website this afternoon. Number one. Here's a gift we can all give and receive. These are simple things. The gift of listening. Listening. Listening has become a lost art. We need to learn how to listen. Now, especially, and let me preface my comments with this. Everything that I'm sharing with you should be exhibited in our lives to those around us. But most importantly, these are things that we should share, especially with the people who are closest to us. The people that we love. And so love always starts at home. Everybody say at home. See, you're not going to be some big, mighty man of faith and it ain't working at home. Listening. How often do we not listen to our spouses, to our children, to our kids? What does it mean, the gift of listening? That means that you're willing to listen without interrupting and without pre-planning your response. You know, how I've been there, you know, somebody's talking to you, they're sharing with you, and you're already working on what you're going to say. You're going to come back with this. Well, while you're thinking about what you're coming back with, you're not listening. Sometimes you just need to shut up and listen. Now, that doesn't mean everything you hear is going to be right. But I have an old axiom that I got from somebody else. You know, we all borrow things. That's why God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth. You should listen more than you talk. You can't say amen. Amen. Say oh me. The gift of listening. Number one. Number two. A cheerful disposition. That's a gift. We need to be polite, courteous. We need to smile. We need to learn how to say thank you. Does it really cost you anything to say to that guy that you don't know, "Hey, how you doing?" No, sometimes we get up and we're as grumpy as can be. I don't want to talk to nobody. Well, that's fine. Just don't tell them you're Christian and you go to this church. Where you from, brother?
Shut up.
No. Be kind. Smile. When somebody does something to you, for you, say thank you. You know what I notice about people? I watch people. And I've learned to do this because I've watched others. I watch people when we go out to dinner or we're at a place and somebody's serving us. I watch how they treat the server. And I'm always very gracious to the server. I always say thank you so much. Appreciate that. Thank you. I always leave a nice tip. You know? Valerie and I had dinner not long ago at a restaurant and I got dunked. I got baptized in iced tea. The waitress hit my glass, that iced tea come rolling, and I saw it happening, Alonzo. I'm watching this happen in slow motion. She's bringing out an appetizer. She hit my iced tea, and it was heading down, and I'm thinking, I don't have time to move. I didn't. That iced tea hit the table, landed right in my lap. I jumped up. What am I going to do? I'm already wet. What am I going to do? Now, I can act ugly. I can cuss. Now, I don't cuss. Now, I know how to. I just choose not to. I know all the words. I've heard them before. Some of them I've never said. But I can cuss. I just don't. But I'm already wet. She feels bad. What am I going to do? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Well, what do you do? Well, that's okay. That's all right. Now, that's one time I didn't leave a big tip. I didn't leave a big tip. Been back to that restaurant a few more times. I'm telling you, I can't get away from that waitress. She's waited on me two more times. I'm like, oh my gosh, can you believe it? Same gal. As long as she don't spill nothing on me, I leave a nice tip. But really, how do we treat people who serve us? Do we reflect the character of Christ? We've received the most precious gift. Can we give a gift just by smiling, saying thank you? I appreciate that. A cheerful disposition. Here's another gift. And I learned this from a woman when I was in Bible college. She since went to be with the Lord. She expressed it a little differently, but it's called the gift of a written note. How often have we written somebody a little note and said, hey, appreciate you. Thank you for what you did. You've been such a blessing to me. You know, I've gone to services. I've gone to memorial services, and the minister who did the memorial service, I'm not talking about services that involved any of my family members, but other people. I'm there, and they do a memorial service, and they did an excellent job. I'd write them a note, send them a letter. Hey, you did a nice job. Appreciate what you do. Keep serving God. There's a pastor here in town, Curtis Jones. Every time I see him, I grab him and hug him and whisper in his ear, you're doing a good job, bro. Keep it up. Keep it up. Trying to encourage you. We have parking that we use from the funeral home right up here on the corner, Burton Funeral Home. A few weeks ago, our board and I, we decided to write them a little note, just expressing our thanks for them letting us use their lot for free. So I sent them a note, said, hey, just want to say thank you. Appreciate everything you've done for us. And you know what else I did? Sent them a check. Sent them a check for several hundred dollars. Well, last week I was in my office. For many of you, you may not know this, but the Peter Burton, the man who started the funeral home, passed away a couple weeks ago. And so his daughter, Karen, is the one that we deal with. So I wrote Karen a nice letter. Thank you. This is before her dad passed away. Thank you for letting us use your lot. You've been so kind to us, and here's an offering to help you with the maintenance. We know nothing's free. Just want to express our gratitude. Well, she's got a message on my answering machine back here in the office. Oh, Bill, it's Karen Burton. Just wanted to say we're thinking about you and praying for you for the holidays. And I did get your letter. By the way, thank you so much. That was so kind for you. We're going to make sure we have the snow taken care of this winter. When you have a chance, stop by. We'd love to see you. Stop by anytime. I'd love to see you. See, little things make a big difference in the lives of people. Here's another thing that we can give and receive, the gift of laughter. Now, I don't have a problem laughing. I do not have a problem laughing. If I love you, I can laugh with you. I've gotten in trouble laughing. Maybe I shouldn't have been laughing. But that's just my nature. That's just the way I am. Because even when I'm faced with a difficult circumstance, I know that my God is more than enough. I remember being in a business meeting one time with a couple businessmen, and we had a big challenge. We were having a problem. And the owner of the business has said, This is what we're facing. And I started laughing. And he looked at me, he said, "What are you laughing at?" I said, "Hey, we're gonna get through this, man. We're gonna get through this." See, I laugh in faith a lot of times. Because when it sounds desperate and dire, I know my God is more than enough. And I start rejoicing. And so the gift of laughter, we need to lighten up. The Bible says a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. And I can tell you from experience, if you learn to smile and laugh, the joy of God will well up on the inside of you. And He'll see you through the most dark place you've ever faced. Here's another one, the gift of affection. Now, we got to qualify this. We're talking about your close family, the people that you love. Hugs, kisses, pats on the back, holding hands. All of those little things mean something. You're letting your family and your loved ones know that you really care about them and you really love them. Are you with me? Now, just because you're a guy and you come to MGCC and you see a fine-looking sister across the way, don't you go plant one on her. You're liable to get smacked. Okay? I'm talking about appropriate things. Okay, I'm not talking about things that are inappropriate. But we need to learn how to express love. And little things will do that and will touch people's lives. I always kiss my kids. I always tell them I love them. I did that with my wife. Told her I loved her every day. Every day for 32 years. Every day. Didn't miss any. You know what I mean? That's why I'm at peace now. I got no regrets. You should have told her you loved her more. I did. I did. Should have been there for her. I was. Every day. You shouldn't have stepped out on her. Never did. 32 years. Not once. Doesn't bother me. You see what I mean? Little things make a big difference in the lives of people. The gift of affection. Here's another one. The gift of a favor. Go out of your way to do something kind for somebody. Go out of your way to do something kind for somebody. Yes. You know, I talk about my friends here, Pastor Leonard and Minister Vernon. When I left St. Louis, the last month I was in St. Louis, I actually lived with Leonard and his family. Because I had sold my house, we had closed on the deal, and we had to get out of that house. The people who bought our house were sitting in the driveway on the curb waiting for us to hand them the keys. I had to get out. And I still had to work till the end of the month on my job. We sold our house and closed on the deal over the 4th of July weekend. Got all the paperwork done. I drove my family back to Erie and we moved into a house. And I had to go back to St. Louis. And I didn't have any place to stay. Leonard did me a favor. He said, "Bill, come live with us. Stay with us." So they had a spare bedroom and that's where I lived for 30 days. Hanging out with Leonard and his kids. You know, and it was a blessing. By the way, thank you. I know I thanked you, but then I was done, turned in all my stuff, and I flew back home. How often do we miss an opportunity to help somebody? The gift of a favor. Now, listen to me. Like I said, these things are all born out of the love of God that's on the inside of us. Follow your heart. Now, if there's anything I've learned in the last few years, if I'm inspired to do something on the inside, I don't think about it anymore. I just do it. I just do it. I don't try to figure it out. I feel like doing something for somebody. And then your head kicks in. Well, why are you going to do that? I've learned. Hey, follow your heart. I do it. I do it. Don't think about it. Do it. Are you with me? You'll touch people's lives. And the last one, and this is one I need to work on. The gift of solitude. You know what solitude means? Peace and quiet. Not only do we need it for ourselves, but there are times we need to give it to others. We need to give it to leave people alone so they can get some peace and quiet. You know what I mean? Help them out. Do something for them so they can get some peace and quiet. I was having a conversation with a guy not long ago, and we were talking about marriage and the family. And I said, hey, when's the last time you took your wife out for a date? He said, it's been a while. I said, you need to do it. You need to spend some time with her, just you two. Go find grandma or auntie to watch them kids. Amen? Because as couples, you need that peace and quiet. You need that solitude. You need that time alone. You need that time together. You need to invest time in each other if you really want your relationship to prosper and to flourish. Amen? So did you guys get all eight? You got all eight? I'll run through them one more time. The gift of listening. I owe you one. All right, let me go back through. All right, well, listen now. The gift of listening. A cheerful disposition. A written note. Laughter. That's four. Number five, the gift of affection. That's five. The gift of a awe. I forgot one. The gift of a compliment. We all need encouragement from time to time. Hey, I like that blouse. You know? Oh, boy, that looks good. Hey, you did a nice job. Hey, just want to let you know how much I appreciate you. And there are many ways you can do it. You can do it face to face. You can do it over the phone. You can do it through email. You can do it on a text. Are you with me? Compliment one another. Everybody needs encouragement. All right? Gift of a compliment. That's number six. The gift of a favor. That's number seven. Go out of your way to do something kind for somebody. And the last one, number eight, the gift of solitude, peace and quiet. Not only do you need it for yourself, but sometimes we need to extend that to others. Amen? Amen. You know, it's one thing to love people, hang around them, but it's another thing to be a pest. You know what I mean? I've experienced it going out to restaurants. I like good service, but sometimes too much service can be a bother. Every 3 minutes, you can barely chew your food. Is everything okay? Yeah. Can I get anything for you? No. You know, and then you get two or three people coming at you. Is everything all right? Yeah. You know, so there's a balance that we need to walk in. Amen. Did you guys get anything out of those today? Amen. Amen. A gracious, a lifestyle that is of gracious living. Would you stand with me, please? We're not going to dismiss, but we're going to pray.